When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Burnt Cookbook Party, an original Pathfinder campaign set in a unique fantasy world, where four heroes of varying skills, attractiveness, and stupidity race against time to prevent a war. I'm Jenna Stieber, and I play Astra Blep, a fey adult half-elf oracle who is exactly who she says she is. And I'm joined by...
Andrew Hansen, playing Johnny Brightchild, a hot and sunny Ifrit Resort Spa paladin, eager to help and flex.
Caitlin Stadahar playing Patty Hertz, a ratfolk ranger dandy with a nose for gossip and cheese.
Paul Ukemeyer playing Zelf, an elven battle chef carving a name for himself in the high-stakes world of magical cooking.
And we're of course led today and for the rest of all time by our illustrious and immortal GM and world builder, Justin Green. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. I like when we record intros after the fact for old episodes that we've since passed. It's like we are ourselves inside of a time loop.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask if it felt like you were time looping.
That's all that's going somewhere, yeah.
Makes me feel time loopy. Put that on a t-shirt.
And to clarify, you like this feeling, Justin? This is a good feeling?
I do like this feeling. I feel like I have advanced knowledge. I could spoil the entire episode now if I wanted to.
See, I feel pressure to like have the energy of my intro match the energy of this episode we recorded. And I can't even tell you how long ago. So I'm like, God, what happened? Was I tired? Was I like really into it that night? Nobody knows.
No, I think we know. You were high from a plate full of candy that you had
immediately before
the That's where that revolutionary Patty energy comes from.
Always sugared up for every episode. So much candy being eaten.
Kids, candy is a sometimes food.
Around this time, Molny decides to take a break for a few days. He is going to check on the construction project at the lighthouse, seek some guidance from the centaurs in the Whispering Woods about removing Johnny's wedding ring. Also just kind of struggling to figure out what your last domain is, Patty. He's tried a lot of different things and he can't quite get it. So on the sixth day after the incident with the catnip, he bids you adieu for a little bit and lets you kind of think about it yourself.
Man, I'm good at so many things. It's really difficult to narrow it down. I mean, it's like cuteness or, you know, motivational speaking. I don't know, macheting, is that one? Gossip? Oh. Gosh, being a great conversationalist, that's got to be it.
Yeah. Maybe something performancey?
Oh, I mean, my acting is stellar, godlike, one might say.
I mean, I would agree. It's astonishing. What are other things that Patty's really good at, guys? Come on.
Hitting things with her tankard.
Mm. Yeah, drinking, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drinking? Oh, that's a great one. I do a lot of that.
Uh-huh. Don't know if there's like a domain for that, but I don't know all the domains, so maybe.
I think there is a domain for parties. Yeah, I think so.
Should we party and see if that unlocks something?
I mean, honestly, I think it's pretty dope that she's got like three domains. Like, that's like honestly super hardcore. like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the cats are certainly having their own little party out in the garden. Fashion? Is there a domain for fashion? That could be one of them. Oh, see, I told you guys it's so hard because I'm so good at so many things.
Oh, totally.
If there were a gossip domain, that might be hard to unlock here in some ruins.
Yeah, the cats are real cute and supportive and all, but they're not great at conversation. Mm-hmm. And they're so mysterious. They always keep to themselves and keep their secrets to themselves, you know? God, I bet they know dirt on everyone, though. Always watching with their little cat eyes.
Speaking of, Astra, you are making some progress, you feel like, with the Torty Cat. It won't come up to you, but it tends to come and sit in whatever room you're in, on the opposite side of the room.
Nice.
But will enter the same room as you and just watch you.
Progress. Sometimes Astra will go into rooms where she's sitting and not approach her, but just watch her in response. Are there any places where she, like, naps regularly?
There's so many good napping spots at the temple. Huh. Great natural light everywhere. Lots of high places. So you're able to, you know, climb one of the steps in the left ear of the temple. This place is shaped like a cat head. And sit and watch. She's higher up on a pillar sleeping.
Yeah. If I can catch her sleeping, I'll stealthily put like a catnip mouse near her so it's there when she wakes up. That's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to leave offerings to her to win her over.
Yeah, yeah, you do that as you are slowly stepping backwards, not disturbing the sleeping cat. You hear a voice and you're not quite sure where it's coming from, but it's saying, Astra, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Does it sound like the Whispering Woods?
Oh my god, it's fey bullshit.
It feels like fey bullshit. It's hard to tell fey bullshit from Justin bullshit.
Right?
It sounds distant and muffled, but you do think it sounds a bit familiar. Make a perception check, Astra.
Okay, I got a 15. Justin, is it Glorhan?
It is Glorhan.
Oh, good guess.
You look for the source of this voice, and you notice that behind you, where your shadow is cast on the ground, it's not your silhouette. It's someone a bit shorter, their hair curlier. The shadow moves with animated motions that aren't your own.
That's right. She's a shadow mage. She cast that shadow ritual back in New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I got your bird token.
Oh.
What do you know about my bedroom burning down?
God, what do I know about that? It's such a good question. It feels like it was forever ago, Glorhan. Glorhan, what do you know about your room being burnt?
All I know is that I woke up and it was all ashes, everything that I own. So when I went to bed, it was completely normal.
Mm.
Did you see somebody do this?
No, that is not the senses I used to know this information. Boy, Glorhan, things are really weird. Are you at Shadowwind, you Shadowwinder?
she pauses. She doesn't answer you directly. She just says, Ansel and I are in Erosia. Unfortunately, things have gotten a bit intense here, and I don't know when we'll be able to come back or if we'll come back.
Yeah, you should bail as soon as you can. There is a sword hanging over your head, and that sword, the handle of the sword reads fate. Hmm. Did that make sense?
Is it a spiral sword?
That's a loaded question.
Damn.
Listen, I want to trust you, Astra, but I'm just not sure that that's in the cards for you and I.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of what I could say, Glorhan, to get you to trust me. And I'm going to be honest, I don't really think there is anything, which really, really stymies our progress here. But let me tell you this. I know what happened to your bedroom because I know the thing that you did to get that to happen. And that's going to be surprising to you because you're like, I'm a shadow magic, not fire magic. Cool spell, by the way, this shadow thing you're doing. Cool spell. Yeah, you did something in an alternate time to mess up your room, and that's why it is burned the way that it is. And because you have done that, you're in what I would describe as a spot of danger. Or you're fated to
die. Yeah.
Oh, so you know?
A friend of mine can see the future, and she's been telling me the same thing.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Well, don't trust me, but do trust your friend. Also, I can't believe you let me hang so long on completing that sentence when you knew I was going to say died. Yeah. Did your friend give you more context?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you, Astra.
Listen, Glorhand, there's things happening here that are bigger than your mistrust of me and my, I would say, instinctive dislike of you. There's more going on than these petty squabbles and whatever you think you know about anything you think you know about me. So anything you can tell me that you might have been told about your incoming death would be super helpful.
I don't want you to think I'm trying to take the moral high ground with you or anything. Like, we both lied to each other. It is what it is.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. Although I don't know why people just mistrust me. I feel like left and right, people here, I just like nobody trusts me when I'm telling them things. And it's just like, why? But Glorhand, I feel like if I've lied to you, which I don't think I have, I probably hasn't been that important.
I don't need you to tell me where you got the rapier, because to be honest, I already know what it is. Really, I was just curious if you would tell me.
Wow. So it was your friendship was a trick from the beginning. Well, it's a good thing I rejected it then.
Listen, Astra, you have this spiral rapier. Do you think that a good person can do good using corrupt power like that?
Ooh, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we spent hours walking from village to train to whatever talking about this.
Glorhand, I'm beginning to think that's the only way you can do good.
Nice.
I have a mentor, I guess, who would agree with you, but I just don't know.
Interesting, Miss Mentor.
Yeah, right? Shadow Mentor?
Yeah, yes. An evil Shadow Mentor.
No, this one's a totally legit, good, on the level, lawful good Shadow Mentor.
I mean, it's probably Mistmorn, right?
Maybe.
Look, I don't have any right to ask you this, Astra, but if I do die, will you still print my brother's book? He's going to need something to keep him busy.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he's going to need more than that. Yeah, I totally will. You know what? We had a contract. You've given me some money. Totally, I will still print his book. But could you do me a favor and try to not die? Whatever information you've been given about your incoming death, take it and listen to it. Because, I mean, here's the good news, Glorhand. Everybody dies. And so in a way, your incoming death is not a surprise. But most of us don't know when, and we have a little bit, well, I guess we don't have a lot longer than you, huh? Oh, my God. Glorhand. Glorhand, we're the same. Oh, no. Okay, here's the real good news. It's not permanent. So if you have anything to tell me that you think could prevent your death, now would be a great time to do it.
If I do die, it would be to prevent something worse from happening.
Huh. I know it's against your nature. Can you be less cryptic?
Yeah, you may not believe me, but there's a judge in Fainlin called High Mage Windhorn. And he claims that he is this good person, a divine, lawful guy, but he is actually desperate to become the demigod of Ebnir. I'm afraid that we may be the only people standing in between him and that happening. if things don't work here, then it may be up to you to go stop him. But, I mean, if it doesn't work, then, you know, he may be a demigod. I don't know.
Glorhan, what are you going to do?
We're trying to fix what happened. I don't know if we can, but we'll do our best. You don't have to worry about that sort of thing, Astra.
Yeah, I can't really afford to take anything else on my anxiety plate, so I'm not really going to. But does that mean Bashad is dead?
Not yet, no. Maybe soon, I'm not sure.
Ugh. Keeping you alive is slightly more important than keeping Bashad alive, but I want you to understand that it's like neck and neck. Oh, Glorhan. Do you ever think we'll get to a place where we can trust each other? Not this time loop, but like in the future, maybe.
Sure, a future time loop. Yeah, that sounds nice.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it sounds like she's about to go on a suicide mission. So yeah. Her mentality is like, I'll got to get everything out because who knows who's coming back from this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does feel like that. And I'm just like, Glorhan, how much time do you have before you do whatever you're planning to do?
A week, maybe.
Okay. We could get pretty close in a week. We could maybe get there and help you. We're so busy. It's so hard to prioritize.
We have so many things on our list.
Yeah. I mean, a week is a lot of time for us to maybe go down and help with whatever this is. But I'm also like, well, we've got to do something about Johnny's goddamn curse. It feels really pressing.
It is certainly pressing.
Yeah.
What?
Andrew, you don't think so?
What? No, I'll be fine.
You don't want to sleep at some point?
It's just that time has proven that we really rely on Johnny to be tall and powerful and not sleep deprived.
Oof, so, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. Glorhan, can you tell me where you are? We're doing a thing right now, but we might be of help in whatever you're trying to do, whether it's save Bashad or kill Windhorn or whatever.
If you want to help me in the short term, you can tell me if High Mage Windhorn leaves Fainalyn.
Okay, yeah, we might be able to do that. I refilled my stack of bird tokens, so I'll shoot off another one to you when we discover if he goes. Are you expecting him to come to your location?
I expect him to try to kill Bashad, and I don't know how or where he'll do that, but he seems confident that he can.
Ugh.
And if he does,
interesting,
we want to intercept the artifact of Ebnir before he can get to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I've got a hot tip for you, is that it's going to happen on the ocean, because that is where Bashad lives. So just keep an eye out on that. Well, I'll send you a bird token if we hear anything more. But again, Glorhan, there's only one chance to survive and lots of chances to die. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm following you, Astra.
Okay. Don't die. If you do, I'll publish your brother's books. But don't you think the world would be better without that?
Isn't that enough motivation for you to stay alive? Yeah,
please survive.
She's like, okay, I've got to go. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Don't die.
And you watch as your shadow slowly morphs back into your own form.
Gross. Is the kitty still asleep?
Yeah, the kitty has rolled over and is like covering their face with one of their paws.
Oh, so cute.
Unfazed so by cute. What just happened.
Yeah, it's fair. Well, at the first opportunity, I'm going to tell everybody everything of substance for this conversation.
Perfect. I'm going to give Zelf one thing before that happens. As this is happening, yep. Zelf, you had wanted to start reading Cassandra Stiffpeak's books.
Listen, Justin, Zelf is hungry for knowledge.
Uh-huh. Knowledge. Uh-huh.
One could say that he's both hungry and thirsty for knowledge.
Thirsty.
You know, like the main thrust here is the demigods. So if he can get some clue about what they do in the other time loops, maybe their motivations or their end goals, any scrap of information that he can put together a bigger picture, he'll read whatever he has to get that, even if he has to stay up late with a bottle of wine reading this tawdry literature.
Is Self going to come to the group and be like, okay, I've discovered Bashad's weakness. It's really into tentacle play.
It depends on how sober he is. Okay. I think we can use this.
How long it takes to get there, yeah.
Yeah.
Self, give me a perception check. Or knowledge religion, if that's better for you.
A scale roll. My knowledge religion is a plus 9, and my perception is a plus 11. So we'll go with them. And I'll go ahead and add inspiration to them. Justin, that is a total of 25, sir.
Beautiful. The first thing you note is these are pretty easy, like beach reads. You can get through them pretty fast. They're not the normal text that you are used to.
Cryptic occult writing and things like that. Yeah.
So you have grabbed all the stack of books that were available in Ogavia's time vault. Really, the only book about a demigod that is not a current member of the Pantheon is the Johnny and Naj ones, the only one that has enough material to really have a thick manuscript. Oh. But none of like the actual writing is particularly useful. You know, it's a lot of made up stuff, her fantasies and things like that. You don't find like a lot of details that you feel like, oh, this is something that nobody else knows. One thing that you do find, though, that is useful. In the back of the book where she's fucking Bashad, you find some handwritten notes.
Incredible.
About a book that she could write. And I'm going to show you guys an image on Forge. So it should have popped out for you.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She seems to be keeping track of the demigods that she has seen be called. And trying to decide which one she can write about or is interested in, which one is coming up the most often so that it has the most likely chance of being printed, because Ogavia can't print her books if the god doesn't come up. That tells you, A, that she's confident that Johnny and Naj will be the demigod of Zitrix. She's less confident about who will be the demigod of Ebnir. So you see some things here.
Justin!
Oh, yeah.
I'm reporting you to the authorities.
Who are these authorities, Caitlin?
I don't know, but they need to know.
So this is you, Justin. You've made a puzzle for us. A horny, horny romance porn. Oh, I don't even know how to put words to what you have done here. The sheet that Justin has provided us has Ebnir, and then it has potential names, titles for books, and information about them. Presumably, we are supposed to decode to figure out which NPCs each of these refer to.
I think the red number next to it shows you the number of times it's come up. So, like, heating up the Ice Queen has 8 hash marks next to it, and 50 Shades of Black has 5.
I personally can't look away from untitled. A sheep? Will this sell? Bow before this pussy?
Bow.
I think I know what that was referring to.
I think we know.
No.
That's happened once. God. It looks like that's...
Yeah, there's been one universe in which the sheep lich ascended to be Ebnir's chosen demigod. And also Cassandra presumably has a manuscript.
Somewhere, yeah.
Oh my God. Ansel. Is this one Ansel?
Read it.
Lying under the poet of the underworld. The only way to stop that irritating mouth breathing was to fill that mouth with my bosoms.
Yeah.
Such greasy hair could be viable lubrication.
No.
These are the kind of notes that authors write.
Yeah. This is real. This is
just my campaign notes.
Yeah, this is just totally normal.
We're going to have to edit out an hour of us just losing our shit reading this.
And no, I mean, we have to read all of these for the audience. So
we do.
Appreciate.
We do. Okay, so far we have Ansel and the Sheep Witch.
Yeah. I Finally Fucked Twins is probably about Glorhan, right?
I was thinking Abraham and Neven.
Yeah, Abraham and Neven, yes.
I wasn't thinking of them as twins, but yeah, I guess they are kind of twins. Wow, okay. They got chosen for Edmure? Okay. Who wants to read Horny for Horn?
Oh, yeah, I'll do Horny for Horn.
Thanks.
Puns write themselves, but not particularly fuckable before or after godhood. Then it's got a crossed out kind of a tagline. It says, his manhood exploded like one of the corpses he had cast bloat bomb on.
This is about Windhorn. The horn's right there, and we know he can cast bloat bomb.
It's like his favorite spell or something like that.
I mean, I think we would agree that Windhorn's not particularly fuckable either. So.
No.
The puns are fun, but yeah, definitely not fuckable.
This one, honestly, the one that really intrigues me is Heating Up the Ice Queen, because it has a lot of hash marks next to it.
Yes. Heating Up the Ice Queen, the maiden of Fairmis sank Erosia, but his member was rising, remembering her chilling touch. And then it has hot underlined three times. Yeah. And fingers crossed that this is the one that sticks. The Maiden of Fair Mist. Do any of us know who that is?
Was that the form that Bishad had before becoming a demigod?
Ooh, good question. Is Zelf going to share this with the group?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's going to transfer everything to his own notebook in a different format.
Johnny has been trying to get his hands on these books for weeks.
Oh, Matt, are you done with these? Like, I've been wanting to check them out too.
Not until you're older.
He's like 1,000 years old.
I know.
The next day at breakfast, once again, pancakes. Zelf says, all right, everyone, I've been doing some grueling research, and the thing I have the most questions about is this. It seems like Cassandra had some ability, or thoughts, I'll say, on who would become the demigod of Ebnir, which is very interesting. It seems like a lot of people are becoming new demigods. I'll speculate on that later. Look at these notes. See if you think you understand who the players in this tawdry play are.
Oh my god.
You guys can make a knowledge local check on the Maiden of Fairmist, and Caitlin, you can use Patty's erosion bonus on this.
Awesome.
Mm. This is great pancake. Oh, wow.
Oh, thank you. I actually used rice flour to make them a bit springier.
Whoa.
Oh my god, 50 shades of black. Will anyone actually understand shade has a double meaning here?
Oh, does shade have a double meaning?
I think it can be shade or shade.
Oh.
Yep.
Maybe
a YA series. Challenge yourself, Cassandra. Boy, I mean, it's good that she's, you know, expanding her bounds, but if it's not erotic, like, what's even the point?
Well, no, but maybe somebody will write a spinoff series loosely based on it.
Oh, I think that YA is young animal.
I think we should let Johnny read them.
Johnny, I keep having to remind myself that out of the four of us, you're probably the oldest. So there's no reason to shelter you from this other than taste.
Oh, yeah, they weren't very good, Zelf.
They were fine. They were, you know, pulp.
Is there one you recommend I read first? Or, like, not read?
I'll tell you which ones were my favorite, but let's talk about this puzzle.
Okay.
All right, let's stay on focus.
Yeah.
Heating Up the Ice Queen. Well, I only rolled a 10 on my knowledge local, so somebody else hopefully knows stuff.
With my bonus, I have a 16.
I have a 23.
Ho-ho.
Why did you sound so sad?
I only did better than everyone else.
He's always competing.
That I'm seventh. Oh, yeah. Can I get a bonus for that, Justin?
Yeah, both Zelf and Patty are familiar with the Maiden of Fairmist. Patty, especially, you growing up in Erosia, this is kind of a fable that you're told about how the god Ebnir fell in love with a beautiful maiden from the city of Fairmist, which is the first city that sank into the ocean when Erosia started to sink. So Ebnir was in love with the maiden, and the maiden led him on, essentially, to access his domain of magic to gain a lot of power, and then ultimately rebuffed him. As punishment, he started sinking the continent of Erosia. So that is kind of like the origin that is told to kids, like, you know, don't be too cocky. You'd end up like the Maiden of Fairmist. You'll sink the country. Things like that.
Don't lay it on any gods. Interesting. Okay, so this note is talking directly about the Maiden of Fairmist, and his member has got to talk about Ebnir, right?
Sorry, I was just parsing the sentence you said. Yeah. I guess so, but then who would the demigod of this be? Like, who is this about?
Well, whoever it is, they've got a huge lead on everyone else.
Man, yeah, heating up the Ice Queen's a tricky one. Okay, but who is 50 Shades of Black? Do we know any undead shades? I guess with Ebnir, it could be like anyone.
Well, shade is shadow, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And black is shadow, so I think it's more likely to refer to some kind of darkness than an undead, necessarily.
I mean, that makes me think of, like, a ghost, like something spooky.
Yes, yes. I was assuming a shade of the undead, you know?
Agree to disagree. I think it's some sort of shadow or darkness.
Shadow or darkness. I mean, maybe Glorhan, because her shadows are her whole... Oh, my God! I talked to Glorhan. I can't believe I didn't. I'm so sorry.
Really?
I can't believe I didn't mention this.
Oh, sorry. I presented some very distracting material.
No, no. Wow. You're fine, Zelf. Thank you for sharing. And I'm going to want to circle back to this. But Glorhan got in touch with me. She's on what I'm going to guess is going to be a fatal mission for her. She says Windhorn is trying to become the demigod of Ebnir, which... I mean, that tracks, right?
And apparently he's succeeded in some time loops.
Yep. It seems to be his main thrust. Ugh.
Would that be horny for horn, you think?
Yes.
Johnny, you're doing so well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Johnny's uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, Andy hasn't slept in, what, 90 whatever hours.
It's so sad. And he's with the people least likely to notice.
Whenever you're ready for your life to change, just go to patreon.com/bcbparty and for $5 a month, enjoy bonus content. Things like images and maps that Justin has made that we get to experience while making the show. I can't say for certain, but I'm pretty confident that Justin will be posting the Cassandra Stiff Peaks author notes on Patreon, which I can guarantee is worth the price of admission alone. We did our best to read out the most plot-relevant bits, but the whole thing is just... It's worth seeing. It's worth seeing the whole visual spread. Plus, you'll get things like alternate week character questions. Last week's was about branding opportunities, and it goes off the rails pretty quickly. Like, you know how off the rails the normal show is? This is somehow even further off the rails than that. And you can get it right now by going to patreon.com/bcbparty.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Johnny, you look like I should top you up on coffee.
Yeah, if you're making some, herbal caffeine, yeah, something like that would be great. Yeah.
Oh, poor thing.
I'll make some yerba mate.
Oh, wow, yeah. That'd be great.
Oh. Johnny, are you okay?
I haven't been sleeping too well, Astra. I think it's the Pink Prince, like every night. Like
Johnny,
he like shows up and like takes me.
No, do you need to share this level of detail with us? Well, like, we're friends, know, like, but
guy stuff is not really my forte.
I noticed he said he'd call you that night, and then nothing seemed to happen. I guess your ring is a ring of magical booty call, huh?
It's just like constantly a party, and he's like, you know, trying. I just like don't get any sleep. You know, and like it's rough. Like, you know, he doesn't get it.
Johnny, I been there, done that. You just gotta power through.
It's like a new pink, like it's wild, and then there's like wars with colors. Did you imagine like a rainbow with a pink in it? Instead of like indigo?
Johnny really has been partying, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's been a while since my last color war. I don't miss those days.
Yeah, what does the pink represent? I don't get what the addition would do.
That's like the color hierarchy that I've learned about. Like, it's hard not to learn about it.
Johnny, I'm sorry. Help me understand here. You have physically been teleporting to another realm every night where you've spent the entire night partying with the Pink Knight.
I don't know, physically, like, definitely it's kind of like I'm there, but like maybe I'm still asleep.
Oh, you were taken.
Wait, magically enough to disrupt your sleep. That sounds like a very fey thing.
Yeah, yeah. It might just be like taking your soul or your consciousness or something like that. Should we like watch you while you sleep?
I don't think I'm like going anywhere, but like, you know, maybe it's kind of like when I like, you know, traded with the cat, with Rabuel the Generous to like go see Molny.
Rabuel the Generous. Well, we don't need a repeat of that this time.
Certainly not.
What happened that was so bad? Like, Molny and I went on some adventures and that was pretty cool, but like, I just feel like, you know, like I heard that there's like some vampire stuff, like, and that's crazy, and like meat golem stuff, but like, you haven't really talked about like what happened to me.
Johnny, what if there were something, and I know this is an obscure magical concept, but all of you, I invite you to consider, what if there were something that just knowing about it made it possible for something bad to happen in the world? And Johnny, if just knowing about something cracked the door for something bad to happen, would you still want to know it?
I mean, I don't know.
Johnny, how many things are there about yourself that you aren't quite sure about that you've gotten along fine without knowing?
I mean, I don't know. Right?
Poor Johnny, this is too much for him.
I just, you know, I just feel like, you know, you're just like kind of hiding something about me. And like, I need to know what happened. Otherwise, I'm going to start believing what this person I met in my dreams was saying about it. And so giving you an opportunity to submit some other sort of basis first before, you know, I jump to conclusions.
I see. Astra, Patty, I think now's my moment.
For what?
To plant the seeds of honesty, Astra.
I mean, we have been emphasizing the importance of being open with one another.
Okay, Johnny, we have been lying to you. Let's take baby steps.
But we haven't been lying to you, Johnny.
We have. What are you saying? We have been withholding information from you, Johnny.
Exactly. That's completely different.
Okay.
Thank you, Astra. I'm sorry for being pedantic.
No, it's important that we all understand where these lines exist for each of us. We have been withholding information. But it's important to understand we've been withholding it because we care about you. And we're worried the effect that this information will have. She darts over at Patty because Patty is better at caring.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Your three parents want to sit you down and tell you that we love you and that this isn't happening because we don't love you.
Yeah, no, Astra's right. Johnny, the only reason that we have not been completely upfront on this particular topic is because we think you're wonderful exactly how you are, and we really don't want you to change, like, at all.
But
please don't change. Yeah. Please don't change, Johnny.
Okay, but, like, I gotta know, like, what not to change into, like...
Something gross and bad.
Yeah, Johnny. It's Johnny and Aj.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Let me try to frame this in a way that will make it hard to be confused. When you went to Rabual, he took your soul out of your body and sent that to the lighthouse.
Right.
And then there were other souls in your body while your body was sleeping. There was Glorahan.
Yeah.
And there was Paris, France.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rabual took those souls out. And then he said there was something else in your body trying to get out. And when he opened the door for that, what entered your body called itself Johnny and Aj. I am of the opinion, and I've thought about this, that because your soul had left your body, I don't think that is in any way you, but it was able to use your memories and your tendencies and your friendships with us to make its way in the world.
Whoa.
It is the demigod of Zitrix.
Whoa.
Yeah, like I said, we like you how you are, buddy.
Yeah, he was not fun to spend time with, like, even for a moment.
He was so creepy. Ugh. Always licking his sword. Disgusting.
What a sleaze bag. Yeah.
Oh, you guys didn't like him? I kind of liked him.
Well, you notoriously have terrible, terrible taste in people, so.
That's a notorious?
Notorious. Yes.
Well, let's table that. This is about Johnny, but.
Yeah, we encircle back to your terrible tastes in people, to clarify. And I realize that that's a kind of a mixed thing to say to a chef.
I'll be thinking about that one.
Anyway.
Johnny, the thing is that this Johnny and Aj has knowledge from other loops. And I don't know if, while he's still locked up, he isn't somehow watching and listening part of this conversation now. And we were worried about the risk that telling you about him might make it easier for him to come through. And that might still be true, but here we are. We've cast our dice in the direction of being open with each other. And I hope we learn that that's a good thing, because this is really testing it for me.
Yeah, here's the thing that I want to put on the table. The last time when we were at Rabual the Generous, and he kind of raptured Johnny's brain into another body, that left room for Johnny and Aj to slip through and inhabit his body. If the Pink Knight is taking Johnny's consciousness away in some way, shape, or form, is there a chance that Johnny Anaj is there at those times?
Whoa.
Or that he might be able to slip through?
Whoa.
I think that's doubtful because, Reb, you all had to do a special something extra, but maybe the door has been weakening every time he comes out and making it easier for him to crawl out.
I just worry. I think one of us should watch Johnny sleep the next time he sleeps. Just putting it out there.
But what we should do is break the curse.
Oh, yeah.
There was a shadowing cadet in my dream in the Pink Palace. Nerissa with the pink hair and like the lightning gauntlet fists and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
She goes by like another name in the dream. And like that's always kind of weird. Like whenever you meet somebody in a dream and like you think you know their name, but then like they tell you their name is something else. And so like, and you have to like go along with it because it's in the dream. She was like disappointed that I wasn't Johnny Anaj, and she said that I should go to Rabual the Generous to become Johnny Anaj.
Oh my God,
what?
No. You do not want to do that.
That's like who I'm supposed to be?
Do not listen to that asshole, Johnny. Absolutely not.
I don't know. I just wondered if you all knew who that was.
Well, hold on. Do you think they were real? That seems like very specific intel for something that your dream manifested.
Like, I wake up, like, feeling like I haven't been sleeping. So, like, I'm pretty sure, like, whatever's happening in this, like, I don't know, lucid, fade, dream space, like, is, like, kind of real. Like,
wait. So she knew who Johnny Anaj is and thought that you might be him. Does that mean that she remembers other loops, or maybe she has information?
I think so.
I wonder if she's part of the ministry. But if she was part of the ministry, she wouldn't want you to be Johnny Anaj or him spend time every loop trying to shut you down before you can become him.
That's wild.
I mean, I also want to highlight something that feels super important, which is that she told Johnny to go to Rabual to awaken Anaj. And that feels like a lot of effort to go through to do that, which makes me wondering if maybe it's not so easy to get Anaj to escape into or from or wherever he is into Johnny.
Yeah, maybe you know? We were like concerned about nothing.
No. Listen, does anyone remember that evening dinner party at the Goblin Village?
Of course I do. I got to hit the gong.
Okay, well, no good. Because it was when Johnny touched the broken object of Zitrix.
What?
That he passed the object of Hibdal to Patty.
Whoa, I don't remember that.
So I think Astra's right, but I think that the openings are unpredictable, so we should be careful.
Ugh.
And Johnny, if you ever find yourself strangely compelled to do something for reasons that kind of make sense but aren't totally clear, just let anyone know who happens to be around.
Uh-oh.
Kind of a burden. I don't know if we want to encourage.
No, that's fine. I think this is the case where more information is better than
just
less.
Keep us updated on what's going on with you, buddy.
Well, I'm getting pretty tired. Like, and I think like that's like maybe part of the Pink Knight's plan is just like to like get me to sleep so like I can't resist.
Ah, yeah. The sleep deprivation method of romance.
Yeah. But, you know, I think I'll be okay.
Johnny's getting Taming of the Shrew.
False. When the chairman ran out of ideas and he started doing the shop couples episodes.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Listen, okay. So we've got a list of potential Ebnir demigods to be called. We know Windhorn is going to try, presumably, to kill Bishad, and that Glorhan and some other Shadowen students are there to try to stop it. And we know that Johnny is, just a wilting flower right now, and that he really needs some help.
It seems strange that, like, she wanted the demigods, like, to just, like, new demigods.
It is weird.
Wait, no, I'm sorry, Johnny. What did she want?
Johnny definitely fell asleep. He's like, she wanted, like, demigods, like.
Now, that's interesting. So she wasn't just working as an agent for Anaj.
Mm.
I don't,
that's part of a whole other thing. Is there a way that we can go to this pink palace with you?
Yeah, you should totally go.
Self, how do you plan to do? Are you just going to fall asleep holding Johnny's hand?
Why is it that easy?
Here. I'm going to go to sleep. Let's find out.
Johnny, it's breakfast.
No. Let him lay out. This is going to be a good experience. Everybody grab a hand. Lay a hand on Johnny. Let's see if we can get going with him.
All right. Okay.
Just lay out on the kitchen floor. It'll be fine.
I really want one of the cat clerics to walk in and witness this.
This is a cat temple. It's normal.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to work because, you know, like it's like daytime, but like. Okay. Yeah. All right. Johnny goes to sleep.
You guys stand around Johnny holding hands. He is conked out. You look between each other, waiting for something to happen, not really sure if it is or not. Two things happen at once.
Okay.
Boy.
Johnny, where are you sleeping? On a table or just on the ground?
I think I tried to guide him to the ground. If that
Yeah, happened. I think the ground is where I was guided to. Just lay out on the floor.
Whenever that happens in the Temple of the Cat Lord, immediately cats come to lay on top of him.
Aww.
Among them is the tortie. And this is the closest that the tortie has gotten to you, Astra. Just right out of reach. You're holding hands with the other so you can't pet. It seems like it almost knows that.
You're so close. You're so close.
So close.
But Astra, for a second, you feel good about your situation. I mean, you've been strengthening your relationships with your teammates. You're in a sort of truce with Zelf, cleared the air with Glorahan.
Oh, no.
Patty hasn't even reminded you that you're an evil vampire since you guys got to the temple. Here's the tortie so close to you. It's a nice moment that's almost immediately ruined by the little stranger jumping up onto Johnny's lap, laying out this like unearthly guttural hiss, and like its eyes ripple backwards as its fur stands on end.
Ooh.
And you feel it growing, Astra. And you are now once again level 7.
Uh-oh. What the fuck?
Uh-oh.
What the fuck?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, what?
Also, while that happens, a magical alarm goes off.
Oh, my God.
And you hear this strange, low beeping, and Mala runs through, kind of panicking. She says, I cast magic protections all after the incident with the demon the other day. Something that's outside of Molding's alignment has forced its way into the temple. And she's, like, running off into the other room. Johnny's still asleep. What are the other three you want to do?
We should probably wake up Johnny, right? This seems like an emergency scenario.
If we haven't, I mean, I'm not feeling anything. Are you guys feeling anything?
I'm remembering that I don't particularly enjoy hand holding.
Your hands are really clammy. That feels uncanny for a cook, but you don't feel anything otherwise.
They need to be a nice, even temperature so I can cook anything I need to.
Gross.
Something is wrong. I think we should go to battle stations. I think we should wake Johnny up. I know he just went down.
I think so. Hopefully his soul didn't go to the Pink Palace. Johnny. Johnny.
We'll check in with Johnny in a second, but Johnny is indeed at the Coral Castle.
No! Why did we let him go to sleep?
How could we know that in six seconds an alarm would go off?
We keep doing this. We keep sending Johnny mystically away, and then an emergency develops.
Can Self flag Manny down?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Manny, watch the important things here. I guess that's the throne. Stand by the throne and scream if anything shows up there.
Yes, Chef. We'll do, Chef.
Guess we'd better go hunting, haven't we?
Should we call Molny?
No, it could be a false alarm.
Or a trap.
Or a trap.
I feel like one of the official representatives, Mala or somebody, would be in charge of that, right? Like, I don't want to intrude on their processes.
Oh, yes, you do, Patty. You're the one who called Molny last time.
Well, that's true.
We don't have to follow process. We're special.
Should we leave Johnny here or, like, guard his body? do you think?
Let's leave him with Manny.
Okay.
We're giving Manny a lot of responsibility.
I guess help me drag Johnny to the throne where you want to leave Manny. He's in the kitchen now. It's not ideal.
Yeah, I'll cast Animal Aspect and grow gorilla arms so I can drag Johnny
arm himself.
All right, yeah, then Astro wants to go out towards, I guess, where the alarm is happening, or if there's like people gathering.
Yeah, to the courtyard or see what's going on.
Yeah, the two of you enter the temple's large entry chamber, which has the fountains. You indeed find five interlopers here. They're all armed with large blades, caked with dirt and like breathing heavily. In a defensive stance, like their eyes are darting frantically around. They're surprised by the alarm as well. You can make a perception check or some other action if you choose.
Ooh, yeah, I'll try to perceive.
Yes, let's try to perceive the situation here.
Ooh, I rolled well and got a 23 on my perception.
Let's see if Patty knows what's happening.
Patty's going to roll poorly and beat my number.
Nice. Patty has a 26, so.
You guys nailed it.
Very nice for both.
Yeah. It takes you a minute, but you do recognize them ultimately. You are looking at the top five bachelors of Courting a Criminal.
No!
Shit.
That is not what I was even thinking you were going to say.
They have clearly had a time getting through the Whispering Woods. They're no longer the preppy fops that you last saw in a spa in Bigram. A few of them wield machetes. All of them are wearing berets. Zayden is covered in thick mud up to his neck. You think he probably encountered that insane squirrel that was burying people. One of them, in addition to a beret, has tied a fabric like mask around their eyes, cut some eye holes out. And you know that this is Gentry Till, formerly the dentist, and he steps forward to speak for the group.
Yes, yes, yes.
He says, Patty Hertz, I know you're here. Please come speak to us.
God.
Oh, Lord. Patty, stunned, stands, mouth open for a moment, and then steps forward and says,
gentlemen, so interesting to see you here. What's going on, guys?
Patty, hear us out. We're not here to convince you to come back to the show.
Oh, good, because I'm not gonna.
Damn it.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you. I agree.
Is that Gentry Till?
Look, none of us want you to go back to the show. In fact, we're all really impressed that you walked out. Even Zayden. After you split, we were all feeling so lost and aimless. We went our separate ways for a few days. But eventually we realized none of us had left Bigram. We were just hoping that you'd come back. And we kind of bonded over our shared depression. You know, we did a spa package. We did this like seminar called Team Spirit that they were doing. And it really solidified us brothers.
Oh, wow.
Made us focused on what we want in life. And we all agreed, even if the show is over, what we want is Patty Hertz. Scry Network be damned. Something changed a few days ago. And it's like we could feel in our hearts where we needed to go, Patty.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, God. No. Oh, no. My followers.
Do you still want to be a demigod?
My worshippers.
Patty's like, wow. Oh, Gentry, guys, this is all very flattering. And I sincerely appreciate all of the time and effort and pain that you've clearly gone through on my behalf. It's not that I'm not happy to see you. I mean, I certainly am. It's just like my companions and I here, we've got a lot going on right now. And I hate for you to have come all this way only for me to not have the availability to spend time with you all that I know you're really looking for.
We understand, like, we can help you. Like, we understand that you're busy, and we want to support you and lift you up. Like, that's all we've talked about.
Gosh, I guess there is You know, power in community. I always say that.
Patty's starting to kind of like the idea of having followers after her initial confusion about why these guys have shown up.
When you speak about community, Abraham and Neven, they seem particularly touched by this, and they kind of put their arms around each other. And it's the first time that you see the twins, like, really accepting each other.
Mm. Oh, it seems like that spa time that you guys had together has really helped you all grow as your own community, and that's really beautiful to see. I guess if you guys are here with good intentions and you promise to behave yourselves, who am I to tell you that you can't be here? This isn't my house.
Wait. Astra, I feel like this is our moment to veto the creation of the Patty cult. Do you have any feelings one way or the other?
Why would we do that? Why would we veto it? I support Patty and all she does.
They're kind of dweebs, but like they're nice guys at the end of the day.
Wait, no, Gentry, what does your wife think about all this?
Dylan's like, oh, he's blowing your shit up, man.
Fuck yeah.
Gentry kind of shoots you a look, Zelf, but addresses only Patty and says, Patty, being with you and doing the show, it was one of the most chaotic times in my life. I really upended everything. And at the time, I really didn't think that I would be able to handle it. But then when it was over, there was just this emptiness.
Oh, boy.
It didn't feel like freedom. When I'm at your side, that's when I'm truly liberated.
Wow.
Oh, jeez. Guys, I'm starting to worry that maybe you guys don't actually truly want to be here. I know that you're feeling all these feelings and that I am a magnetic personality. I agree. But, you know, I don't want to up into your lives. Like, you know, I support you. I want you to be free to do what you want to do. That's my whole deal.
We are. This is what we want, Patty. Like, all of them agree and nod.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want this?
I guess the least I can do is let them come in and have breakfast. I mean, look at them. They're a mess.
Oh, no.
After I changed my mind, this can only accelerate Patty's path on demigoddom. I think this is going to be a good thing for all of us.
Oh, see, I was changing my mind because I feel like she feels like she has to invite them in and take care of them. And I'm like,
I do feel a little obligated. But I mean, really, guys, what's the alternative? Am I going to just turn them away and send them back into the Whispering Woods? Look at that one's already covered in mud from that squirrel freak. Like, let him change clothes and have some breakfast at least.
No, you're right. Yeah. We'll hose them off, give them some pancakes, let them rest a little bit.
Stick them in the fountain for a minute. It'll be fine.
Maybe just try being their god. I mean, just like try out the experience of what it would be like for these men to be like your...
Gosh, like, I mean, should I give them an order? Like, am I a benevolent god? I would think that I am.
Well, that's your choice.
Gentlemen, I hereby command you to come in and have breakfast with us, I guess.
See, that was such a benevolent command. Yeah.
Thank you. I tried.
Using your powers for good.
I notice you already said God instead of demigod.
I mean, it's a natural progression, right?
It is. It is. Astra, I'm thinking out loud. What are the chances one of them is an agent of our enemies or an agent of our enemies has hitched a ride on one of them?
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. I guess... A non-zero?
I'll make that Manny's project.
I mean, I'll keep an eye on them, and if they get up to anything, I'll smite them. That's what gods do, right? Smite!
Oh my god, yeah.
Not yet, though. Don't worry, guys.
Still working on that last domain.
Yeah, right?
And on that note, Zelf watching Patty fall very easily into her role as God. You feel quite confident that Patty's last domain is hubris.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. I'm sure I can handle these guys. Don't worry about it.
Well, Zelf suddenly remembers a very familiar flavor and scenes from the past of living in Mjolnir, and especially with the chairman, flicker across his mind's eye. And he says, oh, I know what this is.
Incredible.
Hubris is also a subdomain of glory. So she has glory, she has hubris.
Fucking funny.
Also, on a meta note, Caitlin, you recognize that each of the boys have gone from worshippers of Patty Hearts to worshippers of Patty Hearts.
Capital W worshippers.
Yeah. Finally reuniting with them, they have each gotten abilities over one of your domains.
Amazing.
Wow.
And you can direct one of them at a time to do some sort of task for you. And they will attempt to complete it to their best of their ability. But only one can have a project. The others have to wait. Like Manny, they are always at minimum 4 levels behind you. They could be even lower level than that.
I've always wanted a minion, and I get 45 of them. This is so exciting.
You said that there are 4 subdomains. Do Abraham and Nathan share one?
Yeah, rude, but yes, they represent cooperation.
Yes.
They're getting along now.
Just like the Gemini.
They're essentially your potion makers. They have magic abilities. They can heal. So if you need anything magically done, give a task to Abraham and Nathan.
Beautiful.
Dylan, obvious, he's your beater. You need something punched. Gentry has a lot of utility. He's liberation, so he can free people from bondage, physical, mental, magical. He also can manage Patty's religion as a business. So everything that he had before for running a restaurant.
Oh, my God.
He can now make checks to make money off of knowledge, religion.
He's my business manager. I love it.
Fucking funny.
And Zayden represents hubris. Anytime there is something that feels impossible, you can give it to Zayden and see what he can do.
To confidently attempt it.
I can handle it.
Oh,
what the purpose?
I don't know that I, Caitlin, have ever been happier. This is everything I ever wanted as a person.
Shout out to Justin knowing that hubris would come up just immediately.
So yeah, the boys single file start to make some pancakes for themselves and have breakfast. Mm. And suddenly you feel a rush of air around you, some bright lights in the corner of your eyes, and a rainbow touches ground to the temple floor. And you see the pink knight walk down it. He is wearing a beautiful pink tuxedo. And he waves forward at you guys and says, friends of Tommy, Ember Eyes, I welcome you. Our wedding is today, and I want you to be there for the ceremony as your friend enters the next stage of his life. Please join me in the coral castle.
Johnny's still asleep.
Oh, no.
Guys, I mean, I don't want to be a part of this, but I feel like we got to go intervene on Johnny's behalf, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. Okay. Should we take Johnny's body with us?
Oh, there's no need for that. Johnny is a perfectly physical form in the coral castle as we speak.
Huh. Mr. Pink Knight, I will join you, but in no way is this an official endorsement of your marriage or your relationship with my friend. Is that understood?
I love a challenge, Maddie.
I forgot that I told somebody it was Maddie. I tell so many people my name's Maddie, I can't keep track of it.
Yes, and of course, I will be attending as well. I don't know if I ever told you my name.
I do not believe you gave a name.
And my name is Patty Hearts. So pleased to meet you. And this is my friend. She looks at Zelf.
Yeah, I'm Zelf the elf.
Okay. That's fine.
Pink Knight, do you happen to have a wedding registry? I'd hate to be a bad guest.
Anything pink. If you've come across any new shades of pink, always excited about for things like that. Okay. And I can't think of anything that would make Tommy happier.
Of course. Super invested in pink. Tommy is. Yeah.
I have some great flamingo recipes.
Oh, wonderful. We have a whole flamingo room now.
Zelf is about to introduce the Fey world to pink sauce.
Will we have to attend physically, or will our consciousness simply be joining you in the Coral Castle?
Physically, please. Are you excited to walk up a rainbow?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't act like I'm not.
Manny, there comes a time in a young elf's life when he gets a chance to go to a fairy's castle, and he'd better take it.
I'm just going to tell Mala really quick where we're going and who these strange men are, and then I think we should just... Should we change?
I'm torn, Astra. I don't want to be underdressed, but I don't want to see my outfit as, you know, buying into the charade of a wedding.
Well, you already have the right colors, Patty. That's what's important.
Oh, actually, no, I don't like that. Patty's going to put on her sneaking outfit. All black.
Great. I'm going to use my magic soothsayer's raiment to turn my normal, exactly my normal outfit, but it is just pink now.
Perfect. As you step away to tell Mala where you're going, you see Zayden staring you down, Astra, and he just whispers, "Blasphemer."
What have I done?
Well, you took Patty's name. In vain.
In front of all of them.
In the most vain possible.
Given to a fae.
Oh, God. Astra does so much stuff on purpose to piss people off. When it happens on accident, she's just unprepared. Okay, great. No, that's fair.
Just be careful. I would hate for us to break this curse on Johnny and then have to deal with one of the rest of us getting cursed, you know?
Oh, what are the odds?
I mean, at a fae... Here's the thing. In a fae domain, it feels low. At a fae wedding, fucking anything's gonna go.
I know.
Thank you for listening, and an extra special thank you to our patrons, whose support enables us to do things like make cool graphical assets for the show and improve our sound quality and work on things like that to make this show an even better experience for you, the listener. You are the gently wafting cherry blossom petals drifting across our vision that makes everything all pink and romantic. That's how you make me feel. You can find us on Twitter at BCBParty, on Tumblr at BCBParty, or email us at burntcookbookparty@gmail.com. Burnt Cookbook Party is Andrew Hansen as Johnny Brightchild, Caitlin Stadahar as Patty Hertz, Paul Lukemeyer as Zelf, me, Jenna Stieber as Astra Blepp, and Justin Green as GM and World Builder. This episode was edited for content by Justin Green and edited for sound by Akshay Balakrishnan, produced by Jenna Stieber.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.